give everything we worry about to God, but it's even harder to carry it out. It's harder to get in there. All right. Remember, we talked about on Sunday morning, the seven things that are destructive. All right. Self-destructive patterns and behaviors. And one of them was worry, those anxieties, those things that you allow to creep into your life that you lay stay there. It's uncontrolled thoughts. All right. Things that you're not surrendering, not taking captive in your mind. Now, every one of us in here have things that we worry about. I'm going to step out in faith and say that that's true. All right. Would you confirm that? How many of you got something that if you're not careful, you will find yourself worried about? All right. Could be anything, right? Finances, kids, marriage. If you got kids, that settles it. All right. We know what you worry about at some point in your life. All right. If you're married, settles it. Got a job, settles it. There's all kinds of things in the world. Why is worry so rampant in our lives? All right. It's simply because of this. Never forget it. Because there are so many distractions in life. Satan has flooded your life with noise. Flooded your life with things that are simply put in place to keep you off track and to keep you confused about what God's wanting to do. All right? Worry, and we've said this before, it's not my own quote, all right? But it's so, so real. It hit me like a ton of bricks on a day that I was worried driving to church. All right? Worry is a form of atheism. All right? When we worry, we're simply saying we do not believe God. All right? Do not trust him. Do not know. Now, you say, well, I don't like that. You know why you don't like that? Because you like to worry. All right? Now, in reality, worry is a killer. All right? You can go to psychologists. You can go to people that are in the secular world mindset. Not even Christian belief. Secular world mindset. And they will tell you that worry and stress will take years off your life. It will age you. It will make you seem older than you actually are. Anybody ever been so worried or so tore up about something that you physically felt pain? Maybe your chest got tight. Maybe your heart just felt like it was racing. I walked in. Joy, one of our girls here, is in a CNA class, CNA program. She goes, hey, later tonight, let me take your blood pressure. I said, if you want to take a high blood pressure, take it now. All right? You know, it's like, hey, there, you know, I've been there. You know what it's like? You get going. Hey, listen. God's saying here, look, you got to take these things. The things that you can't control typically are what cause you to worry. The things that you can't resolve, you cannot solve, and you cannot figure out will cause you to worry. All right? If you can figure it out, you're not going to worry about it. If you have an answer, it's not going to keep you up at night. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill. Oh, yeah. I get paid tomorrow. Well, that doesn't make you worry. You have a solution. It's when payday is a week away and you got the bill to pay tomorrow that you lose sleep at night. How many of you are there? All right. Worry is created by things that are out of your control, things that are out of your ability. All right. That is the best place to activate God. All right. God is engulfed in your details. The Bible says he directs the steps of the godly. He delights in all the details of their life. God says, okay, look, there's going to be things in your life that you can't control. Now, some of those things are going to be created by you, not him. Some of those things are going to be created by poor choices. Some of those things are going to be created by others and not him. But does God allow circumstances and things and decisions to come into your life that you cannot control? Absolutely. Why? Ultimately this. Because God wants you to have faith. God wants you to trust him. And here it is. We're talking, remember the beginning, it's talking to the elders of the church of this passage. Then it goes and it says to all you who are young. And then it goes on and it says this. It says, hey, give all your cares and worries to God. And then it gives you this great promise. Why? Because God cares. You know, and listen, have you ever had that friend that you call, right? And you tell them what's going on in your life and you can truly tell that they're not interested, right? They're just saying whatever they can say to get you off the phone. Now, I don't want you thinking of that person, okay? That's not what we're trying to create. But you know what's happening? It's not that they don't care about you. It's that they have cares of their own. They have needs of their own. They have time limitations of their own. One of the concepts that people seem to give me a hard time about, especially on Sundays, they'll walk in and say, can I get 5 minutes of your time today? Nope. Why? I don't even have 5 minutes of my time today. You know, every moment I have to plan when to pee on a Sunday. All right. You say, well, that's crazy. No. And so it's not that I don't want to care. It's I literally can't be there. Does that make sense? How many of you have got days like that in your life too? You know, how many of you, somebody says, hey, can you give me a phone call? And you're like, between my work day and my children and my things going on, that I don't know where I'd plug that. Anybody there? Hey, write this down. If you got notes and you're taking them, write this down. Just because someone can't be there for you doesn't mean they don't care for you. They're just limited. Now, you can tell the difference in somebody that cares about you and doesn't, right? If not, we can teach you in a class. You may need to seek counseling. Matter of fact, how do I know when somebody cares? Friends run in when everybody else is running away. We talked about this in our Overcoming Grief class. Friends rub it out, not in. They don't rub in your mistakes. They try to get rid of them. They try to rub them out, try to help you through them, okay? The friends are the ones that they will be there most of the time. But it is impossible for somebody to be there all the time. Great news! God can be there. God is the only one that can actually do something about every need you could have. And good news is, He's in love with you today. All right? He cares about you. Now, how many of you ladies in here are single? Ladies, show me that. Who's single in here? All right. Good deal. Hey, don't be so sad, Michelle. Raise a hand. She's like, she's even got the half-cocked hand. She's single and nothing like it. All right. You know? All right. Raise it again. How many of you are single in here? All right. Listen, that's not a bad time of life. All right. It's not. It's a good time to get close to Jesus. Matter of fact, get to God and make a man go through God to get to you. All right. That's the best way to live. Now, how many of you are ladies in here and you're married? Anybody in there? You're married. Raise your hand. All right. Good. Good. I'm hoping not to find the, you know, I'm not happy about it, but I am. No. All right. Good. Nobody did it. All right. That's good. All right. Hey, listen, I'm not going to ask this about you because listen, in reality, when you date, there's more availability for romance than when you actually get married and get in the real world. All right. Let's be real. Dating is not real world. Anybody amen that? All right, because we paint the barn, guys, for dating, don't we? Now, we don't put makeup on. That's not what I'm saying, but we put our best foot forward. Then you get married and you got the responsibility of financing what you just purchased, right? Making sure that there's food on the table, a house over, you know, making sure, hey, listen, when you're single, you've got more availability because you don't have as much expense. Some of you single guys, listen to me. Don't you dare think that the wine and dine mentality is healthy for starting a relationship. If you start high, a lot of times the only place to go is down. All right? If she needs Ruth Chris every single date, dump her. And find the girl that's okay with McDonald's. All right? You know? All right? The reality is this. Now, you say, that's me. Now, I'm not saying dump her, okay? She might like it. But the difference is this. Can you afford that? All right? Can you keep that mentality? I've been to Ruth Chris twice in my life. One on the night we got engaged and another on an anniversary. You know why I've only been twice in my life? Because it cost me months of my life to pay for dinner, all right? Does that make sense? It takes a lot of the budget. Not literally, but it's expensive. Not tearing it down, but it's just made that way. Here's the reality. A lot of times we set ourselves up, we go in and we try to impress with what we can do instead of being impressive with you. Does that make sense? And so what happens is we get married and we can't keep it up. You can't date every Friday night if you've got kids. You can't do the things that you used to do. Well, he tricked me. No, he pursued you. That's what happened. He pursued you and he truly loves you. But now things are different. Now there's kids to feed and houses to pay for. And then everything breaks down. My wife called me on her way home and said, hey, why is it when I turn my air on in my car, it blows heat? I don't know. All I hear is now I got to add something else to my schedule. Right? Now there's something else going to hit the wallet. You know, now there's something. That's the man. And look, we're fixers. We're going to do. And so it's not that we don't care. It's just that our time gets limited. Our ability gets limited. Now, don't you dare, guys, use that as an excuse. You know, you're working 90 hours a week. God didn't make you do that. You're doing that. All right? She deserves your attention and affection. All right? You need to write that down and remember it. My wife should be my first when it comes to my obligations in this world. All right? God is my first when it comes to everything. She is my first above my job and everything else. Now, let me disclaimer again. That doesn't mean you call into sick tomorrow to stay home with her. You say, why do you get disclaimering? Because we are foolish enough that we make excuses. All right, now listen. Why did I go into all that to tell you this? People that care about you can't always be there. And they can't always give you the affection and attention and desires you need. But God's time is never limited. Matter of fact, He is time Himself. And God's resources never run out. Why? He owns it all. And God is consistent. And God is true. And God says, listen, your husband can't always do it. Your wife can't always do it. Matter of fact, if you're single, getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend is not the answer to your happiness. It's not the fix-all for your loneliness. God is. And He says, hey, take all your worries. That's the things that slow you down. And your cares, the things that you're passionate about. And give them to me. Bring them to me. And let me show you what it's like to have stability. Let me show you what it's like to have someone who's on call at all times, who's working when you're not even wanting him to work, and doing what you don't even know he's doing. He says, bring all your cares, all your worries, all your anxieties, and give them to me. Why? Because I'm the answer. No. Is he the answer? Yes, but that's not what he says. Why? Because I can do it all. No. Why? Because I truly care. I truly care. I deeply care. Listen, a bank can give you the money for the loan, but they don't give you the heart with it. You say, my banker loves me. Stop paying your payments and see how well that works out. Am I right? Your banker loves your payment. Am I right? Do they go golfing with you as long as you're paying? And you go, but you stop, they don't. You know what's true? God keeps loving you even when you live like you don't love Him. When you stop making a payment of faith and you stop attending, you stop seeking, you stop growing, you stop pursuing, you stop living right, He still cares. He's still ready to take you to dinner anytime. Still ready to bring you to His table and feed you. Still ready to give you rest. So you say, why do you bring that up? This reason. Why are you putting all your problems on other people who can't handle their own? And trusting that you're going to be okay. Now, do you need people in your life? Absolutely. God created you for relationships, right? Relationship with Him, relationship with others. Two greatest commandments, love God, love people. All right, let's just sum them up. So God created you for relationships, but God knows this, that those relationships cannot always sustain you. And what happens is, and you've seen me do it, if you haven't, Patrick, come on, bring your coat. All right, what happens is we misplace, and many of you have seen this illustration. I love using it. We misplace our confidence so many times. All right, so let's let this represent as confidence. Those of you that have seen it, bear with me. What is this literally? A coat. Thank you. Somebody said a confidence. No, it's a coat. All right, we're letting it symbolize. All right, what's a coat meant to do? Keep you warm. Is that working for Patrick right now? Why? He doesn't have it on. Okay, Patrick, stick out your arm. All right, now just hold it. Is it working for Patrick right now? Why? Still doesn't have it on. Your confidence is the same. Confidence is the same. Your confidence God made for you. Not for somebody else. For you. For you to embrace who you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, right? You're unique. He laid out the plans. Every day of your life was written in His book before you ever took a breath. That's what He says. And when you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I saw you. I got the hairs on your head numbered and counted. I got everything, every detail of your life. I know your DNA strands. I know when your cells are off. I know when you don't have enough sugar in your body. God is not the God that just sits there and says, are you okay? God's the God that knows if you are before He ever asks you that. He sees that. How many of you understand? But here's what we do. We take what God gave us. Adam even did this. And we put it in the hands of somebody else. I've said this so many times in the past couple weeks. We do not know how long Adam was in the garden before he sinned. We know he was in the garden long enough to name the animals, long enough to cultivate the ground and produce. Now, that don't happen overnight. But never once in that story do we find Adam standing at the tree being tempted by Satan. Not once. Until Eve was at the tree. And the Bible says, and we've said it so many times, that, hey, by Adam's sin, death passed on all men. Hey, Satan targeted Adam, wanted Adam. He knew he couldn't get to Adam, so he went after Adam's weakness. And what was Adam's weakness? His woman. By the way, if you don't understand why the woman's the weaker vessel in the home, guys, and we're supposed to emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially protect them, it's because Satan will go through them to destroy your home, and it is our place to build a hedge of God's protection around them. And the Bible says that Adam stood with her and watched her. Why? She was his confidant. She was it. See, you said he was wrong. No, he loved her dearly. Enough to take a bite of a fruit that he had never been tempted by. That was recorded until she was tempted by it. Are you understanding? You know what we're saying? Many of you have deferred your confidence to somebody else. You put your hopes, you put your dreams. Some of you, your counselor is your security. Now, as much as I love Celebrate Recovery, and I do, and as much as I love counseling, and I do, we do a lot of it, Overcoming Grief class, Parenting Through Grace class, all these things that we're involved in, you know, we invest in your growth. As much as I love Renovatus, and as much as I love all the things that we're trying to accomplish across the board, I understand this, and I know this to be true. If Renovatus, if Josh Moore, if Celebrate Recovery is the only thing keeping you clean, you will not stay clean long. They can't do it. If they're the only thing keeping you married, you won't stay married. You can't put your confidence in this church and expect that you will be okay. That's why we stand and we say these things. We are not the pastors of this church. We are not the head of this church. We do not own this church. Only God is the head of the body. Jesus is Lord. We're not in here to promote Grace Community Church. And God help us if you hear about Grace Community before you hear about saving grace, amazing grace in God's power. And the reality is this, if you put your confidence in us, then we're going to drop you sometimes. Not that we want to. It's just happening. So here's what happens. Let's say he's a woman. Sorry. You got the hair for it, right? All right. There you go. All right. You're prettier than me, so you be the woman. Is that okay? Let's say that he's my wife. That's Jordan. All right. Not Patrick. This is Jordan. All right. If Jordan is my everything, and Jordan, if I'm using phrases like, I can't live without you, oh, I'm in trouble. You know what I say to my wife? It's Hallmark ready. You ready for it? I can live without you. I just don't want to. Could I do this? Could I serve God? Could I keep going? Could I keep reaching people if you died today? Yes, I just pray to God you don't. Because it's a whole lot more fun with you in my life. You say, well, listen, you know, she should be your everything. He's my everything. And he loaned her to me. She's his, not mine. And if she's my confidence, which she was at one point in my marriage, you know what happens to my marriage? It's in danger. If you're looking at your spouse to fulfill you in all areas, understand this. They don't even fulfill themselves in all areas. They're not even confident themselves in all areas. How in the world is imperfection going to make you perfect? It doesn't work. And so we do this. I take my confidence, hold it out. I take my faith. I take everything. He can represent the church. He can represent your counselor. He can represent anything in your life that you use to stay stable. And if I say, okay, here's all of me, my confidence that God gave me, my uniqueness, hold me up, he can do it. He can do it. He can do it for so long. But that weighs less than a pound, right? Maybe a pound at its most. And in about 5 minutes, his arm will start shaking. He literally will not be able to sustain the weight of simply a coat. And if that's my confidence and that's my hopes, he cares about me. Look, he's holding me up. But eventually, guess what's going to happen? His arm's going to start sinking. And when he gets sinking and he's my confidence, he's my everything, guess what happens to me? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Why don't you love me? I do love you. I love you the best I know how. Then why don't you show it? I'm doing everything I can. I work 40 hours. I do all these things. Then I just don't think we're going to work out. No, you're not going to work out because you didn't work this out first. All right? Because in all reality, I can wear it all day. I can carry it all day. I can do everything I want with it as long as I wear it myself. It warms me and comforts me when it's on me. Thank God it fits me. All right? That would have been bad for my confidence. No, I'm just kidding. How many of you can wear a coat all day long, but you can't carry one all day long? How many of you get sick and tired of it when it's on your arm? One of the best things about getting the baby stroller is I could take a coat even when I didn't know if it was going to be cold or hot, because if it got too hot, I took it off and shoved it in the bottom. But if I didn't have the baby before then, if I didn't know it was teeter-tottered, it was like January or felt like May, could feel like, you know, it should feel like in December. And you know how Tennessee weather is. If it was going to teeter-totter, I would rather be cold than carry a coat all day when I'm hot. Anybody else like that? But I can wear this all day long. I can feel its comfort all day long. Why? It's designed to be worn, not carried. Your faith and your confidence is the same. It's designed to be owned and not deferred. Not saying, okay, my marriage fell apart because Pastor Josh. No, your marriage fell apart because you put your faith in Pastor Josh. And he could not sustain you. All right, thank you, Patrick. Listen to me. Where do you put your cares? Where do you put your worries? Where do you put your hopes? Where do you put your dreams? When you got up and went to work today, why? Because if you worked for your bills, work gets hard. But if you worked for your calling, work is successful whether it brings home money or not. Why did you play married today? Well, we're married, so I guess we're stuck. That is the number one sign of a spiritual condition that's wrong. Well, I got to stay married because God's against divorce. No, you got to stay married because that's the safest thing you can do for yourself, your confidence, your hopes, your dreams, your kids, your future, everything. You say, well, how do you know that? This. God says, hey, listen, put your hope on my promises. Build your life on my foundation. Trust in what I've said. Why? Because everything God has done has been based on one thought. His care and love for you. The cross wasn't done just because it had to be. The cross was done because God loved you. The world wasn't created just because God needed a project. God didn't wake up one day and say, I want to invent the Sims. God literally woke up one day and said, I want to walk and talk with people. I want to be in love with other people. You're not some video game. You're a reality to him. So much so that he's grieved when you're grieved. So much so that he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. So much so that he bottles your tears. So much so that he numbers your hairs. So much so that he walks with you, talks with you. So much so that you are on his mind 24/7. Your whole existence screams one thing. God wanted to be in a relationship with someone just like you. So he created you. And then he says, trust me. Trust me. And yet for some reason, let's not talk about the world, let's talk about church. That's the hardest things for Christians to do. Is to trust God. To trust his plan. To not be impulsive and not be compulsive. To not base things on your reality and your wants and your desires. You know what I hate? Is when people start relationships and next thing you know, you don't see them in church anymore. I'm single, I'm there every time, and then all of a sudden I found somebody and I'm barely there. And then you call them, where are you going? No, you're my church. I'm not calling to see if we're your church. I'm calling to see if you're in one. You know, well, no, you know, I'm just busy now. Too busy for God? Do you realize that, hey, just because God got you where you wanted to go doesn't mean that you're okay and safe and going to be able to maintain what God has brought to you. Because I don't know about you, God always gives me more than I deserve. And if that's the case, if I don't deserve it and I haven't earned it, then how in the world am I going to keep paying the payment for it? How in the world am I going to keep up and be able to be. I cannot be what my wife needs if I don't let God be what I need first. Are you with me? I can't be the pastor you need if I don't let God be my message. If I don't let God be my method. If I don't let God be the reason I go. Somebody asked me the other day, they're like, what do you do during the day? Do you do anything? And I'm like, well, that's kind of offensive. I told them that. Well, I didn't mean it offensive. What other way did you mean it? I mean, in all reality, you say, well, you shouldn't say that to people. No, listen, let's walk in truth. Let's walk in light. You're sitting. All right, let's put it in perspective. In just Sunday and today, I'll have 35 hours combined. Now, that's not counting the rest of the week. You say, why do you do that? Because God is good. That is it. And I love Him. And I've told you so many times, I am so not good without Him. I am such a bad man without Him. And I love my job. Is that so hard to believe? You know why I love my job? My job's my calling. Maybe if your job was your calling too, you'd have a different perspective. You say, well, I don't have a job. I stay at home. That's one of the greatest jobs in the world. To raise other lives and point them to Jesus Christ from a young age, man, my wife would give anything to be staying at home. I know a lot of ladies that would love to be able to do that. You've been given a gift. Use it well. You say, well, I hate my job. Well, maybe start using it as a ministry more than a financial source. Let God be your financial source and your job be your method of ministry. All right? You say, God, I'm going to serve you. And today, if McDonald's is the way I serve you, then I will serve you with every order I take. I will serve you with every Happy Meal, every French fry, every burger. I will serve you with pickles and onions and lettuce. You know? Yeah, secret sauce. It's Thousand Island. All right? No, you know? All right? But I just ruined it. No, but you see, hey, listen. God, I will serve you with every student that I teach today. I will serve you through my dance team. I will serve you by the way, here it is, I treat my spouse. The way I treat my kids. God, I will, you say, well, how do I serve God? Well, number one, you serve God through serving others. And you serve God while serving others, showing God in everything you do for others. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's like this. How would Jesus treat this person that's yelling at me? How would Jesus treat this person that's accusing me? How would Jesus handle this situation? Well, they deserve love. That's right. That's what they deserve. Anything else that you fill in is man-made, you made, and it ain't going to work. Anything else you fill in proves you're not using this verse. Give all your cares, your worries, all of them to God. Why? He cares. And if God cares for you, then so should I. Does that make sense? All right, so let's keep reading. How many of you got verse 7? Anybody else, when you're reading verse 7 now, it means something a little bit more than just when I'm stressed out, I go to God? It means I just go to God, period. He's my filter, right? When somebody makes me mad and I want to send them a text message, I let my wife read it first. You know why? She's nicer than me. Anybody else have somebody like that in your life? DJ, you there? All right. She's better spoken than me. You say, what? You're a pastor. Yep, it's true. She's better. She's not here, so I'll say that publicly. All right. If you tell her I said that, I'll kick you in the face. And see, if she was here, she'd tell me not to say that, right? But, well, I have a filter. I have a filter. You know, your spouse is the greatest filter God's given you in life to run your thoughts through, dreams through, hopes through, everything through. But the reality is you need a spouse that's running to Jesus just like you to get the answers. All right? Hopefully you can still make eye contact with me for the rest of this. Let's look. Verse number 8. So here's what it says. Stay alert. Watch out. For your great enemy, your spouse, your coworker, your bully. What's your say? Say it aloud. The devil. Nobody else. Matter of fact, didn't Ephesians 6 say we wrestle not against flesh and blood? It's not anybody. Your drug dealer's not your problem. Satan is. Matter of fact, if God got a hold of the heart of your drug dealer, what a message that would be. It goes on and it says this: he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This is one of the most quoted verses in church. It's up there with John 3:16 in the top 15 of the most quoted. So you know what that means? We're numb to it. We've lost the reality that Satan right now is seeking a way to destroy you, to wear you out. Teenagers, he's seeking a way to steal your purity, to steal your joy, to steal your hope right off the bat. He's seeking a way to shut you down. And you're foolish to believe anything but the fact that Satan hates you. I told my class tonight, he hates you because he hates God and you look like him. All right? He can't take God down, but he can try to take you down. And hey, does it hurt you when your kids get picked on? Yeah. So how is he going to try to get to God? Through you. And he's looking for a way to devour you. And the Bible says, stay alert. In other words, don't ever think you're strong enough. Don't ever think you have all the answers. And don't ever think just because it's not a problem today, it can't be a problem tomorrow. I say it this way. Don't ever make fun of somebody that's disabled because you're a trip and a fall away from being there. All right? It doesn't take much. A bump on the head in the wrong way, it doesn't even take a hard one. And your life changes forever. You say, well, hey, this doesn't apply to me. Some of it, we go into church and we hear messages and we're like, that doesn't apply to me. You know what an alert person says? May not apply to me today, but I'm putting it in the arsenal because it may be my tomorrow. I may not need it today, but I'm going to hold on to it. Why? Because it could be coming. Some of you are saying, I would never turn my back on God, and then Mr. Handsome walks in your life. Miss Beautiful comes in. I would never. I'm always going to serve. Hey, listen. Matter of fact, let's just put it this way. I've seen many people claim that they can love God and not go to church, but I've very, very rarely, if ever, seen someone that's truly serving God without a church to go through. Does that make sense? You say, well, I worship him. How? You get your kids in your living room this morning, sing some praise and worship, throw your hands in the air, sing a hymn or two, worship God, and then preach to them? Well, no. Don't give me that garbage. Don't give me that. Don't give me that I worship God in my house. How? I worship God in my car. How? Worry shows you don't worship. Anxiety shows you're not having faith. You say, well, I'm born with anxiety. That's different. That's a lifelong disease. But I'm going to say this. You can heal and you can recover using godly methods to help tame what has been flawed in your body and in your system. All right? Now listen to me. Satan wants today to take this church down. He wants today to shut the doors of First Baptist in Dandridge. Wants to do something in their staff or in their people, in our staff or in our people, that would ruin the reputation of what God's able to do in that church. See, if somebody goes out in here, say me, say I go out and I have an affair. You know what grace becomes known for? My affair. Not for all the people that God saved, the thousands of people that we've seen saved, hundreds of people we've seen recovered, hundreds of marriages we've seen restored. That doesn't make the paper, but my affair does. And you know what Satan's going to do? He's going to be watching for a way to take me down. And you say, well, we're praying for you. I'm praying for you. He's doing the same thing in your home. He's looking for a way for you to be on the gossip column. And instead of God's authority and God's foundation and God's lighthouse system, he wants to make you the poster child of why you shouldn't have faith. You know how many people have told me, I'm not a believer because I'm better than most believers. You know why Satan lets that happen? Listen, Satan rarely lets success be seen, but he will definitely, definitely make known your failure. He will definitely put it out there. You say, well, nobody notices me. God does. Guaranteed, your enemy does too. And I'm going to say this. Satan uses your success to raise you as high as he can possibly get you so that your fall is witnessed by more. And you think, well, things are great right now. Be careful. Because the higher your success, the more visible your fall. Does that make sense? Let's keep looking. Verse number 9. So here's the antidote. Stand what? But I don't like confrontation. Well, firm ain't in your vocabulary. I don't like adversity. Then firm doesn't apply to you, does it? Firm means this. Failure's not an option. Quitting's not an option. Compromise on God's standards is not an option. I'm firm on his word. Somebody said, you're closed-minded. No. I'm fortified. I'm not closed-minded. I've let God's word become my protection. And you say, well, look at this verse in Scripture. And they say, well, hey, whoa. If we're going to admit God, I'm out. Because he's all I've got. He's the only proven thing that's ever worked for me. Anybody else in here for that? He's the only thing that's brought stability in my life. And if you don't want him, I've got no help for you. Because before him, I had no help for me. And if you don't want to know God, then you don't need me. Why? Because I stand firm on this. Let anybody say what they want to say about God. You will not sway me because I have seen him, experienced him, and I am desperate for him. And so listen, that's what this says. Well, and I've had Christians, I don't care what that says. You know why they don't care what it says? They don't know what it says. And because they don't know what it says, they don't believe what it says. And if they don't believe what it says, they're not following what it says. And if they're not following what it says, they're misled and they're lost. And the reality is this, stand firm. Now, firm doesn't mean be a jerk. Firm in love, right? Stand firm against Satan, your enemy. And be strong in your faith. There's a difference. Standing firm does not mean you're strong in your faith. There's a lot of people that stand firm on biblical, accurate things because mom and daddy stood firm on it. That doesn't mean you're strong in your faith. You know what happens? Someone that doesn't believe comes in and rocks with a good theory. Bible says you got to watch out in the end times. People have lies so clever they sound like the truth. And they'll start debunking what dad said and what mom said and what you were always raised on. And before you know it, you don't know what you believe. A strong faith is not inherited. And a strong faith is not passed down. A strong faith is developed and trained and sought. It's something you've taken personally. God can't be the God of your ancestors. God has to be the God of you. I believe this because this is what God has shown me. You say, well, I'm in small groups and this is what they said. Great, great. Make sure, Paul even said it this way. Go home and test what I say against the scriptures. Make sure that what I'm saying lines up with what has been said. Make sure it lines up with God's word. Matter of fact, church, listen to me. You are foolish if you just take me, Josh Moore, and my messages as if they're accurate. Now, I am going to be humble enough to say this. I don't always get it right. Do I strive? Yes. But have I believed some wrong things before? Yep. Have you? Anybody else in here been led astray? I'll never forget, senior in high school, my best friend came up to me and wanted to date me. And you know what I told her? I can't date you because you wear pants. She said, what? I said, Bible says that you can't wear pants. She's like, are you serious? I said, yep. You know why? My parents were anti-women in pants. Just totally against it. I'll never forget the first girl I dated that I brought home, and she was in a pair of jeans. You know what the very first thing my parents said when she left the house? You can't marry her. You know how many people I dated that were in skirts that were borderline sluts, but they were okay because they were in a skirt? You know how many people I knew that were in jeans that were some of the most godly girls that ever met in my life that were disqualified because they had been fed a lie? Well, a woman shouldn't adorn herself in a man's apparel. Well, if you want to get literal, then we need to be in tunics and robes, guys. Right? We need to be running around and down to the ankle, robes with Jerusalem cruisers on our feet, sandals. Right? Am I right? You say, what does that mean? It simply says this. You're supposed to embrace the gender God's created you. Right? And you're not supposed to try to appear opposite of the gender you are. What does God say about transgenders? Don't be different than you are. Don't change the gender you are. You say, well, I just don't believe. Just like some people, have you ever heard it? You preached where you can't wear makeup, earrings, or anything like that? You know, I was raised believing all kinds of things. Like when I got in the Bible, you read it and then you're like, wait a minute. Is this the right version? Is it King James because there's no other version? I mean, literally. And then you go back and you get the King James. And it says the same thing. You say, hey, you're being, no, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with having standards saying I'm not going to wear jeans. But nowhere in the Bible does it say, that that's sinful. Are you with me? Nowhere in the Bible, don't come to me and ask me to teach your kids things that aren't there. I had a mom call me and say, doesn't the Bible say that my daughter can't marry or date a black guy? Nope. Well, he told Moses not to go and get together with another generation. That's totally different. That's not what he was saying. He was not saying those things. You say, well, it's biblical. And some of you, as I say that, that makes you very uncomfortable. Why? Because you've inherited something. All right, does that make sense? Now, listen to me. Let's get real. If you live on an inherited faith, you're not going to be able to stand when the storm hits. If you're raising your marriage because this is how daddy told you to be in a marriage, mommy told you to be, they may have had some good pointers, but only God has a guideline. And you've got to build your life on what he says. Does that make sense? So, how do I know if I have a strong faith? You're developing it daily in his word and in prayer. You are seeking God through his word. Through his word. If the only way you're seeking God is through a sermon, maybe it's your podcast, maybe it's through your church, you're in danger. You got to go through his word. Through the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on and says this. And I'll close. We'll end with this verse. Let me make sure I'm not lying. With this one. It says this. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same. Satan didn't like it. I think my mic just quit. All right. Are we there? Check. Hey, just give me mic one or two, whatever mic this is. Check. There we go. It says, hey, your brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. They're being tempted. They're going through the same battles. They're going through the same thing. In other words, it's not saying, hey, look, they're going through, you know, your oppressions and stuff like that. It's saying this. They're targeted by Satan just like you are, and they're having to determine what they believe just like you should. And listen, God help us. The worst thing in America is this. We believe what we hear more than we believe what we have found to be true. You watch the news, and it's got to be accurate. Read the paper. I mean, matter of fact, let me ask you this. Let's just get away from Scripture. Are you a Democrat or Republican because of family affiliation or because you've studied out what they are? Now, you think about that. You say that has nothing to do with my faith. Absolutely, it doesn't have anything to do with your faith. But it is kind of symbolic. A lot of people vote a certain way because that's how their families voted their whole life. You know, if I were to walk up to you and say, why are you a Republican? Why are you a Democrat? Could you give me an answer? Could you give me the core values? Could you give me the reasons? And you say, well, what's that got to do with my faith? Well, if I walk up to you and say, why are you a child of God? Why are you standing on this? Why do you believe this? Why do you believe church is necessary? Why do you believe all these things? Because Satan has targeted. He can't take down the truth, so he'll start trying to attack the image of God. He'll say, hey, I can't take God down, but you don't need to go to church all the time. You say, well, church won't save you. I believe that too. But I will believe this, and I will say this. Church was there for me when I didn't know what I needed in life. God put people in my life through the church that became what I did not have in my home. There are more people that I can cling to as examples and friends that I have met through service of God in his kingdom, through his people, than I can ever claim to have before him. I know more love in my life today, not just because Jesus loves me and saves me, but because of the people that God's brought and put around me. You know what Satan says? Isolate. You know what Satan says? You might get hurt. You go to this, you might do this and this and the other. You know, they judge. They ridicule. No. The right church doesn't judge you, but the right church points out what's wrong with you and then gives you the tools to get it right. You say, well, I don't want that kind of accountability in my life. Then why are you even trying to seek Jesus?
At some point, we got to realize that we are flawed by nature, so we need something that is not flawed like we are. We need something that can't be pierced by our ideas and beliefs, can't be shaken by our fears and anxieties, can't be swayed by our arguments and reasoning. We need something that's never going to change. Because man, there's too much wishy-washy stuff blowing around. And there's too much attack where Satan's wanting to take you down. So some of you got to get strong. All of us need to get stronger. But we need to get a firm belief on why we stand on what we stand. All right? So bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's look at this. All right. Where are you in this journey? Are you the person we talked about at first that you've inherited? You've got your confidence, you've got your faith placed in all these other things, and these things are what's helping you recover? Or have you taken and placed it all in Jesus? Are you giving him your cares and worries and then using his resources that he's placed around you to help you strengthen? How many of you in here tonight say, you know, Brother Josh, I need to take my faith more seriously. I defer more than I try to establish on my own. Anybody like that saying, pray for me. I need to get deeper. I need to get stronger. I need to get more established. Raise your hand. Anybody like that? Wow, there's many of us. I'm going to raise my hand on that. All right? You know, I mean, I really am. Because, listen, there's times that I let my joy be determined by the mood of someone else. I got to get stronger in that. All right? Anybody else in here say, you know what? I really need to find out why I believe what I believe. Why do I believe God about this? Do I believe it because I've read it, I've seen it, I've established it from his word, or have I inherited this? Is there anybody in here saying, you know what? I need to go do a self-examination, Pastor Josh. I need, pray for me. I need the Holy Spirit to reveal what is true and not true. What is infiltrated by Satan to destroy me? And what do I need to get out? And what do I need to get in based on God's word? Anybody saying, hey, I want to be more true, standing firmer on his word than I am on the words that others? Would you slip your hand up and say, that's me? All right. Listen, stand with me. Grab somebody's hand. We're going to close. 8:05. Look at that. Rocking and rolling. All right. Normally it's 8:30. Can I give you, y'all get to sit there and get a sermon from your perspective. Can I give you the sermon from mine? All right. There's these sermons you come in and they're easy. They're the ones that God lays on your heart that, man, they're applicable. They're easy to grasp. They're easy to understand. And a lot of people are open to them. Then there's sermons like these where you're going in there and you're challenging people that literally there's an impression. You know what an impression is? Oppression is almost the same feeling that your anxiety gives you. All right. It literally is like a pressure on your chest. It's almost like as you're trying to step forward and get words out, there's something trying to push them back. And there's certain times that we preach that it seems like it's trying to get pushed back, that Satan's trying to destroy. This is the hottest I've ever been in our church. All right. Now, I know that blows your mind. Some of you are like, I'm still cold. All right. But microphone goes out completely dead. Still battery, still. Understand this. Satan doesn't want you to believe the whole truth. He's okay with you believing half truths. And when somebody comes in here and says you need to get it all and you need to invest in what God's saying, he is going to do everything he can to try to keep from you receiving that and applying that to your life. And literally tonight to me felt like war. That's nothing against you. That's just simply saying, hey, that dude that's out to devour you showed up tonight. And some of you need to take this seriously. And some of you need to stop playing Christianity. It's better for you to pretend that God doesn't exist than to part-time believe. You say, why? You'll drive yourself crazy playing God when you go to church and then playing with the world on the rest of the week. It will drive you insane. It's better that you're cold or hot than lukewarm. Why? Because number one, it makes God sick. Number two, a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. There's no peace.
So it's almost like this. It's better if a pastor were to stand in front of you and say, hey, either choose whether or not you're all in with God, or choose if you're all in with the world, but make the choice and go that direction. You say, you'd really tell me to go the world's direction? No, that's absolutely the wrong way to go, but it's a whole lot better than riding the fence. All right? It doesn't make God happy to ride the fence. And it doesn't make you happy either. God's not happy, you ain't happy. All right? So you need to decide. Teenagers, you need to decide. Do I believe or do I not believe? And that decision needs to be made without your atheistic friend or your pastor making it for you. It needs to be made based on you, what, where you stand today. All right? With your talents, your abilities, your gifts. Choose today who you're going to serve. I like how Josh said it. Ain't going to affect who I serve. Because that's for me and my house. We already made the choice. All right? Anybody else in here say, me too? I already made that choice? All right, now listen. If you haven't, go dive in. Grab his word and do it. But can I say this? I'll challenge you. Do not decide on your faith without using his word to make the decision. Well, I'm going to say what I believe about God, and then you never crack his word. You didn't try to make a choice. You let somebody else make that choice for you. All right, but I'll say this. You cannot read God's word, apply God's word, put it into practice, and not see God's word come alive. You can't do it. Because even if you're a donkey or a rooster or all kinds of things in the Bible, even if you're an idiot, let's put it that way, all right? Even if you're an idiot, his word does not return void or vain. It works. All right? It works. That's how somebody that can live in a total affair for 27 years can pastor a church that leads up to 10,000 people and live that lifestyle and see thousands of people saved and thousands called into ministry. And somebody says, oh my goodness, my faith is shaken because that man that led me. No. It's his word, God's word. It don't matter who's saying it. God's word works. So you need to put it to work. All right? God's word does not work in the backseat of your car, left on your pew as you leave, left in your seat all week. It does not work closed and on your coffee table. It does not work put on a shelf. It does not work as the centerpiece of your fake life on your kitchen table. It does not work that way. It works when you put it to work in your life. I had a conversation with somebody today, and I'll close it this way. They said, well, my mom prayed that I'd be healed for 18 years of my life, and I never believed it would happen, and it never happened, so how do I trust God? Because God's not activated by you saying, if you prove yourself, I'll believe. God's activated by you believing he will prove himself. It's according to your faith. You're exactly right. It's not, God, if you help me win the lottery, I'm going to believe. No, you're not. You're going to go broke. You're going to go bankrupt. And you're going to be the story that makes TV. You're going to go live your life for yourself and get all kinds of problems. That's what normally happens. No, God, if God changed your circumstance, it wouldn't change your faith. But your faith can change your circumstance. Let's just put it that way. All right? So let's pray. Let's go. I can go on that all night long. God, we love you. We thank you for who you are, and I thank you for your truth. And God, I pray that you will not let Satan hinder your truth. Matter of fact, God, I don't even pray that. Satan can't hinder your truth. So God, I'm thankful for that. Let's just celebrate that. That dude's defeated in Jesus' name. He has no power, no control. And so God, we celebrate the fact that the cross is enough, that the empty grave is proof that nothing can stop us because you are for us. And if you're for us, nobody can be against us. Nothing. And so God, we pray that you will strengthen our faith. As those that make decisions tonight, that they follow through, as they get in your word, God, lead them right where they need to go so that they see you come alive in their lives. May we see people, many people, drawn to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Hey, listen.